WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So did you hear what kind of quietly happened on a Sunday morning talk show yesterday? The Vice President of the United States endorsed legal gay marriage.
I am Vice President of the United States of America. The President sets the policy. I am absolutely comfortable with the fact that men marrying men, women marrying women, and heterosexual men and women married men are entitled to the same exact rights, all the civil liberties. And quite frankly, I don't see much of a distinction beyond that.
It may come as no surprise at this point that any Democratic Party politician is for marriage equality. But this is as close to the White House as the position has come. Joe Biden on Meet the Press. Newsweek contributor and Daily Beast contributor Eleanor Clift is here now to talk about what it means and also about the latest online battleground in the presidential campaign, the Obama website called Life of Julia. Hi, Eleanor. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi. Glad to be with you, Brian.
Was this one of those Biden gaffes or was it planned?
I tend to think he was just speaking from his heart, and this is how he feels. And I think the White House is trying to calibrate the politics around this. You've got North Carolina, a state in play. They're about to enshrine marriage, traditional marriage, in their constitution. I think Democrats remember 2004 when the Massachusetts Supreme Court declared gay marriage was legal and the impact that it had on John Kerry's campaign. And I think a lot of people's views have evolved since then. And I think the president is now, he's too transparently political on this, I think. And he's going to have to, I think, make a decision. I can't imagine a Democratic Party platform that doesn't endorse gay marriage.
You say the president is too transparently political. And by that, I guess you mean that he's trying to kind of have it both ways. And I want to play a one-minute clip of President Obama in December 2010. This is during a news conference. And here is his kind of waffle on how close to endorsing gay marriage he comes.
You know, my feelings about this are constantly evolving. I struggle with this. I have friends. I have people who work for me who are in powerful, strong, long-lasting gay or lesbian unions. And they are extraordinary people. And this is something that means a lot to them and they care deeply about. At this point, what I've said is that my baseline is a strong civil union that provides them the protections and the legal rights that married couples have. And I think that, and I think that's the right thing to do. But I recognize that from their perspective, it is not enough. And I think this is something that we're going to continue to debate, and I personally am going to continue to wrestle with going forward.
So that, Eleanor, was December of 2010. He's had over a year to continue to wrestle with it going forward. He's used that phrase several times. It was also in there about how his feelings on this are evolving. Do you think it is in his political interest to firmly take a pro-marriage equality? Because presumably it's not evolving against marriage equality. So do you think it's in his political interest to firmly take this stand now during the campaign?
I think it's a close call. I think he risks looking like he's playing politics if he doesn't come out and declare himself, because I think it's pretty clear that he's probably evolved towards the position that most of the rest of his party has reached. But if he comes out firmly for gay marriage, I think he does activate people on the other side who feel very strongly, and Mitt Romney then gets to have the position that may attract more independents and that may be critical in a state like North Carolina, also Virginia, some of the states that are just kind of newly purple and maybe newly blue could revert back on the intensity of this issue. So, you know, I think it's a very tricky call for the president, and I personally think that if this is if he really has evolved, I think it's better to be truthful than to play politics.
So, could Biden coming out yesterday have been a kind of trial balloon?
Yeah, I think that, but I doubt that it was planned because well, they knew that the vote was coming up in North Carolina, and the administration has taken a position where they oppose that constitutional amendment. So he knew he would be asked about it, but the way he phrased it, he tried to leave some room between himself and the president. He said the president sets policy, I'm the vice president, asked whether he thought the president would have a different position if he won a second term. He said, I can't answer that. So he's left some wiggle room, and I guess if you look at it through a political prism, you could say they've just launched a trial balloon, and now let's see which direction the president goes with it.
So which way is that balloon blowing if it was a trial balloon? Has there been much of a reaction to Biden taking the stand publicly? Has the Romney campaign specifically reacted?
I don't see the Romney campaign reacting because, you know, the force of history is moving towards gay marriage, and the gay community, many of them do very well. They support political campaigns, and I've been reading that Wall Street is kind of backed away from President Obama, and he's going to make it up somewhere, and the gay community is one of the places. So I think that may tilt the president towards coming out at some point, certainly before when they hammer out the platform for the Democratic convention, this will become a huge issue and he will have to take a stand. But in terms of Romney, you know, he's on the wrong side of history on this thing, but he's got the Mormon Church. There are big populations of Mormons in some of the critical swing states like Colorado and Nevada. So he's got some political considerations to make as well. But I can't imagine, given his religious orientation, given the fact that he just came through the Republican primaries with all those conservative voters, it's hard to imagine Mitt Romney evolving towards the direction of gay marriage.
Eleanor Clift from Newsweek, The Daily Beast, The McLaughlin Group, on Vice President Biden coming out on Meet the Press yesterday for legal gay marriage. President Obama has yet to take that position. Does this all come down to symbolic politics, or does the federal government actually play a role in legal gay marriage? Is there anything President Obama could do today, or if he's reelected, that affects this issue, or is this really up to the states?
Well, I guess if he came out and declared something, maybe it would affect public employees in the District of Columbia, maybe in terms of
well, in fact, let me interrupt because he's kind of done that already. Here is President Obama in June of last year saying how he set this up by saying something along the lines of understanding that people who consider themselves gay married should have some kinds of rights.
That's why I ordered federal agencies to extend the same benefits to gay couples that go to straight couples wherever possible.
So what did that actually mean? When he ordered federal agencies to extend the same benefits to gay couples that go to straight couples wherever possible, what did that change?
Well, these are the rights of civil unions, and that's been his position, that he wants all the equal rights, but he wants to call it civil unions. He wants to stay away from what many consider the sacrament of marriage and leave that up to the states and the individual religions. So, I don't know that it is anything more than symbolic if he changes, but I think the symbolism here is huge. I mean, he is the president. And then you do set up some fights, probably with some individual states. I mean, North Carolina, case in point. And these are political fights that he doesn't need and doesn't want, but he may be unable to avoid them.
Now we're going to switch demographic groups and move on to another demographic battleground, from those who support or oppose gay marriage and would come out to vote on that issue one way or another. We will talk about white working class women and President Obama's Life of Julia campaign. Now, if you haven't heard about this yet, and if you've been on Twitter in the last week, you probably have heard about it. But listeners, we have the Obama campaign's Life of Julia slideshow linked to on our webpage. So if you want to see what we're about to talk about and why it's become such a meme, for good or for mockery, go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show, and we'll talk about the life of the fictitious Julia as an issue in the presidential campaign right after this. Brian Lehr on WNYC. Speaking of Here's the Thing, by the way, we will have Alec Baldwin as one of our guests on Wednesday's show. He'll be here to talk about fracking with Robert Kennedy Jr. So Alec Baldwin and RFK Jr. together on Wednesday, among lots of other things. Right now we continue with Newsweek and Daily Beast contributor Eleanor Clift. You also know her from the McLaughlin Group as we talk about the presidential campaign. So this website, Eleanor, called Life of Julia, shows this American woman named Julia at different ages of her life through kind of a slideshow. And it argues that the Obama administration's programs help Julia through her life cycle and that Mitt Romney would make her life harder. So I'll just give one example here to start off. Age 3. Under President Obama, Julia is enrolled in a Head Start program to help get her ready for school. Under Mitt Romney, the Romney-Ryan budget could cut programs like Head Start by 20%. So that's kind of a standard argument, but the framing is very different. Why does Life of Julia matter?
Why it matters is because there's a huge gender gap, which the Democrats really need to nurture and keep alive. And if the Republicans can't close, it's a double-digit gender gap. It becomes difficult for Mitt Romney to win in an electorate where 53% of the voting public is female. Secondly, I think this president is really trying to show the difference with the Romney proposals and to tie them to the Republican budget. Mitt Romney does, his persona is sort of, he's moderate, and people think, oh, he doesn't really mean all the things he says. He's not going to make all those cutbacks. And the president is trying to really tie him to the House Republican budget, which is pretty draconian in terms of the cutbacks in domestic programs, which, you know, will affect, I think, women in a disproportionate way.
So, listeners, have you seen the Life of Julia site? Have people shared this with you, either in a serious way or a mocking way? Any calls on your viewing of Life of Julia, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. It continues with different ages, Julia at different ages. Age 18, for example, under President Obama, as she prepares for her first semester of college, Julia and her family qualify for President Obama's American Opportunity Tax Credit, worth up to $10,000 over 4 years. Julia is also one of millions of students who receive a Pell Grant. Under Mitt Romney, the American Opportunity Tax Credit would be allowed to expire, and Pell Grant funding would be slashed for 10 million students. So I think with the two examples, Eleanor, that I've used so far, we see a pattern here. These are both about government programs being more generous or less generous. And this is also the source of a lot of the pushback, that it's a kind of stifling, suffocating, government cradle-to-grave life that the Obama campaign is painting for this fictitious character named Julia.
Yeah, the Republicans have had a wonderful time mocking it, basically calling it the nanny state, stifling creativity and opportunity because everything is a handout and creating this culture of dependency. But if you take every one of the programs that you just mentioned and many more, I don't think there are a lot of voters out there who would want to give them up. So I think that's what the president is counting on, is to for people to actually, you know, see through the broad rhetoric from the Republican side and understand exactly what it might mean for them in terms of access to government programs. And I think Julia, if you could typecast her, she is working class, white working class. And that is the group of voters that this president has the most difficulty reaching. White working class men more so than white working class women, but he still doesn't do that well with them. So I think he wants them to see exactly what they're getting, and many people accept these benefits, and if they're getting them, they just don't think about them, and they think other people are getting all kinds of benefits they don't deserve. If you can actually clarify what government does each step of the way, I don't think it's so horrifying to most people who are trying to make ends meet, that yes, they can get a lower interest loan to go to school, or that their child would have access to a Head Start program if they can't afford the big daycare center down the street that costs a lot of money. So I think he is trying to relate to a particular segment of the voting population with this cartoon or this caricature, whatever you want to call it.
And the Republicans are fighting back with their own cartoon Julias. There are plenty of those online now. For example, one I saw this morning done in the same graphical style. Julia going off to kindergarten and talking about a mediocre public school, typical of the government. Or when Julia starts her own business at age 42, which happens in the Obama one, rather than talk about the Small Business Administration support, as Obama does, it talks about government red tape that slows down her business formation process and the taxes on her as a possible member of the top few percent of her small business actually succeeds, that would drag her down. So I guess the question is, if this is really about white working class women as a battleground, will enough of them see themselves in that aspirational group where they become a member of the, you know, the 1% or the 5%? Mm-hmm. Or do they see themselves as primarily benefiting from these government programs? I guess that's the battle.
Yeah, and depending, you know, which set of rose-colored glasses you look through, maybe independents will look through this, who are not clearly anchored in either party, and will look to see exactly, you know, which benefits they're getting. And if they are, as you point out, small entrepreneurs, maybe cutting regulations is going to be the dominant issue for them. Yeah, I think depending where you are in life is going to really affect how you respond to this. But it's interesting to me that the Republicans jumped on it so fast and you know, tweeted like crazy, used all the social media. I think they were tweeting, Julia should just get a job, that sort of thing. It does reflect kind of the attitudes in the two different parties. But I think historically, you know, women tend to look more to government for a helping hand. So I think, I don't think this is the Republicans are going to be able to substantially cut into the gender gap by making fun of Julia. This is probably just another little a little fun moment along the way. I don't think it's going to change a whole lot of votes.
Right. And conservative critics are noting that there's a gap in the Obama-Julia timeline from when Julia starts her own business at age 42 until she goes on Social Security or Medicare at 65. They say that's because Obama doesn't give much help to small business owners. He has tax hikes that might make Julia actually vote Republican
at that point
in her life.
The White House, if a rep were on the phone right now, would point out that this president has actually cut taxes, but it goes against type. The Republicans have been so good at casting the Democrats as tax men that even when he cuts taxes, the payroll tax, for example, I mean, he fought the Republican Congress tooth and nail in order to get that through. But stereotypes.
Well, he wants to raise taxes on.
I think, yeah,
he wants to raise taxes on people in the upper income groups, right?
Oh, he he'd like to, yes, but he has basically cut taxes for everybody else. I think they have a pretty good record on that. It was part of the stimulus plan. There were a lot of tax cuts in the stimulus plan. He did that in part to win Republican votes, but he still did it.
So last thing, is this widely being viewed? Because as you said, there was a big reaction to it among Washington Republicans, campaign Republicans, Democrats too, passing it around. It's broken out on Twitter, as I said. Is this being widely viewed and shared outside the campaigns and the punditocracy, or is this kind of a beltway and politically obsessed thing?
Yeah, well, let's see. If you're a regular voter out there in one of the battleground states, and maybe you would go on the website and see this as a tool to figure out the differences. I'd like to think that, but probably not. I think this is probably just a political hot potato they're tossing back and forth. And I think the real life Julias out there are looking at this and thinking, you know, why can't they get along? We're tired of all the fighting. I think that's more the reaction you're going to get.
The Life of Julia, a cartoon character created by the Obama administration to portray policies of Obama and Romney throughout her fictitious lifestyle. Eleanor Clift, contributor to Newsweek and The Daily Beast, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.